I'm not going to introduce this person because they actually do it in the link.
I am the war's high stack record holder, Young-hoon Kim.
I am Young-hoon Kim. The holder of the world record for the highest IQ, I do not say this based solely on human logic, but by divine revelation. Jesus Christ will return in our generation.
His name is Young-hoon Kim, a man with an IQ of 276, a level that far surpasses giants like Albert Einstein and Stephen Hawking. Yet what makes Young-hoon Kim truly unique is not just his extraordinary intellect, but the way he has chosen to use it, to proclaim to the world that Jesus Christ will return in our generation. This is not just an entertainment video or a viral theory. It is a message that speaks directly to the heart, the soul, and the eternal destiny of every person who hears it. Young-hoon Kim, described as the most intelligent person on the planet, does not seek fame, wealth, or academic recognition. His goal is far greater, to awaken humanity to a truth that, according to him, is inscribed not only in sacred texts, but in the very code of the universe. The King is coming, and the time to prepare is now. In this journey, we will explore the life of Young-hoon Kim, his unique approach to scripture, the biblical prophecies he claims have already been fulfilled, and the signs that, according to him, indicate we are on the brink of the final events described in the Book of Revelation. Young-hoon Kim is an enigmatic figure, a prodigy who seems to have stepped out of a science fiction story, yet whose mission is rooted in a deep and unshakable faith. This young Korean man is said to have an IQ of 276, a figure that would place him far beyond any mind ever recorded in history. To put it in context, the average IQ is 100. Albert Einstein is estimated to have had an IQ around 160, and Stephen Hawking between 160 and 170. An IQ of 276 is almost inconceivable, but it is precisely this extraordinary intellectual capacity that makes his claims so fascinating and, for many, worth listening to. From a very young age, Young-hoon demonstrated abilities that left teachers and scholars speechless. At 7, he was reading university-level texts in advanced mathematics and theoretical physics with the same ease as a child reading a fairy tale. By the age of 9, he spoke 6 languages fluently, including English, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic, skills he later used to analyze biblical texts in their original form. Young-hoon Kim's message is not just an analysis of prophecy. It is an urgent call to prepare. It's not about knowing when Christ will return, he says, but about being found ready when he does. The Bible urges us to live righteously, waiting for the blessed hope of Jesus' return.
So he is a very real person. I did a lot of research on him. And he talks a lot about God. That's his main focus, is God. He has proven the reality of God in every conceivable way, through science, through the Bible, through prophecy, through prophecy. And he talks about Jesus being God. He's a very, very reverent person. And he has studied and analyzed scripture and the events that are happening in the world. So he's tracking things. He has been for a long time. And he literally is preaching what we've been telling you. Be ready. Get ready. I believe with all my heart that we're going to see the Lord come. And you know why? Not even because I want him to, because things are speeding up in the world. And God is not going to allow us to go through the wrath as we've been teaching you. But you got to be ready. Amen? Through a show, raise your hand if you know the answer. How do we get ready? Bill. Huh? How do we get ready?
Oh, I didn't think you were going to ask me.
Bill. didn't you raise your hand?
Yeah. How are we going to get ready? Number one, we turn our hearts to God.
It's all about the heart. If you have other loves in there, and you know how you know when you have another love in there, is what takes more of your time, more of your resources, and more of your energy. Whatever is you're focusing that on, that's a God to you. God should be the center of our existence now. Even when you're working, Pastor works full time, and you should see him in his breaks reading his scriptures, reading the word. When I was working full time, I would go at lunchtime and read my Bible in my car. I would spend time praying and worshiping God. You can do it, but you've got to be ready. Amen. Okay, so give your heart to God. How else? Lupe? Okay, we're going to give her pray. We need to be praying without ceasing. I have a word for the fathers this morning. If you have any children, it is your job to come before God on your knees and pray them in to be ready and ready for the kingdom of God. We are in that hour, people, where we've got to be accountable for our children. It is extremely important that all of our children are walking with God, loving God. And you know how that happens? When we're living God in our homes. When the parents are demonstrating the love of God in their home. But now is the time. Fathers, if any of your children, you know, we go to get educated. We get educated beyond our intellect sometimes. When I was at the university, I had to take certain courses, and one of them was upper division. It was called Women in Social Movement. And they literally, and here I had been a nun, I have loved God all my life, I knew the word, and they literally talked me right out of believing the Bible. So our children, even now more so, that there's a lot more liberal doctrines at the university level, or in school, or even in elementary. We need to pray for our children. We need to make sure. Father, I lift my children up before you, Father. I thank you that they are ready. My children will not be left behind, because I'll tell you one thing. We don't want to get up there and know that our children didn't make it. We love them, don't we? Yes. Don't we love our children?
Yes.
And our grandchildren? Oh, man, I'll never let go of my grandchild. She lives in Arizona. Too bad. She's living with me in my mind. And I'm praying her in. Amen?
Amen.
So praise God. So we pray. How else?
Have your lamp filled with oil.
Which is?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. And how do we generate the Holy Spirit in our being?
Praying in tongues.
Praying in tongues. Praying. Worshiping God. Spending time with him. Why do you think he tells us, be still and know that I am God? You cannot know God when you're so busy. He does not compete with the noise in your life. We're all busy. We're all overwhelmed. We're all tired. It's been a long journey. But if you don't know how to quiet yourself and spend time with God, he's not going to know you. God knows us when we spend time with him, people. Look, if I was married and I was living half the year in Europe, and I would come in and say, oh, hi, Bill. It's good to see you. And you know what? I got to go to a Tahoe with some friends for another 2 months. Do I really know him? How do you know someone?
Spend
time with them. Talk to them. Love on them. And if you cannot make 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute, on, you know, your car is a church. Use it as a church when you're driving around. Turn on the word. Pray in the spirit. When you're in the restroom, sitting on your throne, spend a moment talking to God. He's everywhere, people.
Amen.
But we've got to start spending time with him. You know, we can come here and worship God, and it can be from here out. Real worship comes from the heart, deep in the heart. We're slowly moving towards that source, where we're not just singing songs, okay, we're down to, okay, now we're going to stop. No, it's a time for you to think about God and enter in. I always picture Jesus in front of me. When I'm worshiping him, I sing to him. He's right there in front of me. Make it real. If you cannot make it real, you're in a religion. God is not a religion. He is a person. And he is the most precious, the most real, the most sincere person you're ever going to want to meet. Now, this guy that I, the link that I just played for you, like I said, his whole life, he even said, because I've seen a few of his links, and he said, my intelligence is not for me. God gave it so that I could study this and then give it to people, help people to understand. So please, for those of you that believe you're very intelligent, and I also believe you're very intelligent, that we have brilliant people here, take a moment and realize that the smartest man in the entire planet is telling us, get ready. Jesus is coming. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Turn to the person next to you and ask them, are you ready? Don't hang on to anything in this world, people. We use stuff. We have nice cars. We have little clothes. You know, we have our beautiful little homes. Don't hang on to anything. You cannot hang on to anything. That's Lot's wife. Be ready to leave it all behind in a second. If you're going to believe, then you got to be ready. Amen? I tell the Lord all the time. I used to tell him daily. Now I tell him all the time, Lord, if you came right now, I'd be so happy. There's nothing in this world that's redeeming. There's nothing in this world that's worth hanging on to, people. And it's only going to get worse. Oh, he came back.
For the highest IQ, I do not.
Okay. I'm dangerous with my phone.
You're dangerous.
Okay, praise God. So we're on part 8 of head versus heart. You know, out of the things that we can prepare, the main thing is what? Faith. All of this is dependent on your faith. Are you struggling to believe that the sky's going to burst open? We're going to hear a massive trumpet that's going to be heard around the world? And Jesus and an army of angels are coming with him? Are you struggling to believe that we're going to be caught up in the world? Caught up in the air with him? If you're struggling, you need to read your Bible and get it into you. Amen? Like I told you, you're going to believe in either God or this world. Either God or Satan. There's no more in between. No more gray area. No more gray area. The admonition from the Lord on March the 2nd, 2026, going forward, you will teach my people this truth, that in the spiritual realm, things are very much black and white. I am absolute in all things because in me, there is no compromise. In me, there is no deception. I carry no darkness or evil. The time has come for my people to walk in the absoluteness of righteousness. Proverbs 11:23. The desire of the righteous is only good. It's only to do good. Only to be good. Amen? And look, it's a process. We're all working our own salvation with much fear and trembling. Nobody has arrived. Pastor is, I wish you could almost invisibly see one of his days. He is one of the most disciplined men I have ever met in my existence. Ever. From day one. God is first. He works very long hours. He has tremendous responsibility. I mean, meeting sometimes the entire day with VPs and directors and managers and all kinds of things. And he's got to be very sharp and very on it when he's talking to them. Because this is a Fortune 500 company, international, a computer company. And he finds a way to get the word in him. I'll walk into the kitchen and he's reading his scriptures. He's looking at the word. We can do it. We can do it. I love you. You know, this is not a joke to us. We laid our life down for you willingly. There's no, we don't expect anything from you guys. All we want to do is please God. You know, for a long time, I struggled with teaching any of this, for years, because lest I offend. But the Word of God says, better are the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. Was Jesus a fearmonger by telling us everything that was going to happen? Was he trying to create fear in us? It's the opposite. Know what is happening and stay in faith. Amen? So we can't reject the Word of God coming strong now. He's just trying to help us get ready. He's trying to align us. Amen?
Amen.
So don't shoot the messenger. It's very hard to stand up here, but I am God's servant, and I'm going to do what he tells me to do. And he literally told me, it's go time. Do it now. Okay, so I get 5 extra minutes for that. Praise God. You lack nothing. Use what I gave you. You're not lacking anything. To become an overcomer, to endure till the end, to bring fruits that are beautiful to God, you lack nothing to be able to do that. You have the ability to overcome all things.
Amen.
You know, when we get born again, God comes and lives in us. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the microfocus of God's power, miracle-working power, and he's in us. Amen?
Amen?
So you lack nothing. Okay? So we cannot tell ourselves, you know, I'm trying. I don't know how to do that. Let's find out. Let's learn how to do it. For our God is also a consuming fire. There's a side of God that we've intentionally, you know, we know how he is. He hates evil. He hates evil. And so we have to understand that for him, you know, if we want to get close to him, then we need to start letting those things go that we know are not right. Amen? Amen. We're all working on this, people. Probably me more than you. I am not looking down at anybody. I'm just a little crier, a little prophetic person here that says, be ready. Please, let's be ready. Be ready. So the fire does not destroy the iron. Some of you are going through trials. Some of you are afraid of God because he is a consuming fire. But the fire does not destroy the iron. It tempers the blade. Do not wish for the heat to fade. Desire for the strength to endure it. Don't be afraid of the trials. Don't pray that you get out of the trial. 90% of the time we fall into trials because of our own self. We have doors open, we're in strife, we're in fear. So when the fire happens in our lives, use it to get stronger. I was the most pathetic person in 1983 when I almost lost my life. I thought I believed the word. I could quote scriptures. I was already collecting things to give to people to help them. I was in the word all the time, but it was not in my heart. And when the fire came, God taught me how to use that fire to become strong in the furnace. I came out a completely different person. You would have not believed how I was before that. Afraid of everything, weak, under the judgment of people, so eager to please people, and so on. But the day came when I walked out of that furnace that I was completely different. So let's stop running from the fire. Let God purge us. Amen? One amen. If you want to talk to God, pray. That's how simple it is. You want to talk to God? Did you know that for Him, you're the only person that exists? You! John, you're the only person that exists for God. Rachel, you're the only person that exists to God. Because He knows He is God, how to fold time and space and be with each and every one of us. So when we talk to Him, He's right there. You know, I've been praying and I don't think God's hearing my prayers. You've been taught wrong. God is ever present, Jehovah Shammah. He is there. Man, our kids are learning who God is. I'm on fire with this message because it's reminding me that I need to be reverential of this awesome God we serve. So if you want to talk to God, pray. If you want Him to talk to you, read your scriptures. I never hear from God. I try to talk to Him. Do you know why He can't talk to you? Because of the possibility of great error if you don't know the Word. The Word is the foundation you need. It's truth. It's pure. And the more Word you have inside of you, the more God can talk to you. Because He knows you're not going to run off. People are like, oh, I heard a bird and it was God talking to me. So crazy. God told me to do this. Oh, it's not God. I can't say that to people because then they leave. I'm going to do this. God told me to do this. Oh, dear God. But because they don't have a basis of the word of truth, they think that is God. So if you want God to speak to you, get in the word. The more word you have, the more. God, do you know, Lord, forgive me, but God is a chatty patty. He loves to talk. I am now in a place, people, and I say this very humbly, but it took me a lifetime. I am in my 70s. But I am now in the place where God talks to me throughout my day. He teaches me all the time. I no longer have to, oh, I got to go into my prayer closet. We used to do that in the early days. Let me remove everything that is going to be in my way. Now we know how to do it wherever we are. Amen. If you want to hear from God, and I don't know if you tell me, you know, if God wants to talk to me, okay, but I'm not that interested. Don't you think He sees that? If we don't spend time with Him, we want all the goods of heaven, but we're trying to bypass God. We got to go through God. God is a person. He saved you so you could be His child once again completely. He loves you. Amen? Amen. Jeremiah 29:12. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. See? Just what I told you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. With all your heart. When you first start out, you're going to go in there in your room or wherever you want, and you'll start to talk to God, and in 2 seconds, you're going to be distracted. Something's going to happen. One of the kids is going to scream, or the husband's hungry, or whatever. It could be vice versa. But when we seek Him, we have to seek Him with all of our heart. Amen? How many of you would have married your mate if they would have said, you know, I'm going to kind of love you, but I'm not going to give you my heart. Nah. Who would be dumb enough to get married to someone that is telling you, I'm not going to give you my heart? But are we doing that to God? He's got to have our heart, people. Very sincere, very pure, childlike, come to God. Father, I love you. I am your child. I will be found by you. Where is God? I pray, and he seems to be gone. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. Amen. From your exile. We were exiles from God in our sin. Amen. When before we got born again, we were in exile and then prisoner. We were a prisoner of the devil and we were captive. We were not free. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Is he going to find faith in you? How does faith come? Beautiful. See how powerful that sounds? When you know and you respond in unity, the word, faith comes by hearing. Beautiful. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Look, I have never seen God. I have never seen God. But I believe in him. I have dianoia, deep thinking, as an aspect of my walk. I deep think things. I look at a tree and I see the glory of God in it. That's what it says in Romans, that even all of creation screams out that there's a creator, there's a God. Amen? And we walk around blindly. There's flowers, there's glory. The sun came out this morning, people. There's going to be a time when it's going to turn black. So enjoy the sun. Thank God for the sun, the rain. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Your bank account is empty. Are you going to walk by that? Or are you going to come to God and pray and say, Father, I thank you that I'm in covenant with you and that you restore finances to this family. You look at your body and there's a lump there or there's, you have no idea the crazy stuff that Pastor Eva has found in this lump of clay. It's like, oh my goodness, what the heck is that? You can't be moved by what you see. Amen. You got to be moved by faith. Romans 8:24. But hope that is seen is not hope. Hope is your expectation. And faith holds up your expectation before God until it comes to pass. That's Hebrews. Oh, right here. It's coming up. But but hope that is seen is not hope. For what does one still hope for what he sees? Everything about God is in the spiritual realm. We cannot see it. So you're going to be in a world of hurt if you cannot understand this, that I have to walk by faith now. I can't go by sight. What if a big, huge tsunami is coming? And you're like, oh my God, and you panic like a chicken without a head. Instead of saying, God, you're here. I may be the only one surviving, but I'm going to live and not die. Amen? God is everywhere. You can't go by what you see anymore. We're going to see terrible things in this world. Our only job, people, is our job is not political. Our job is prayer. Amen. We are to be praying all the time, all day long. God didn't send you here to pick a party, He sent you here to pray for your world, for the leaders. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Keep hoping. Right now, some of us are struggling in our bodies, and I mean some of us. Well, we're not going to go by how we feel. Or by what we see, or by what we hear from the doctor. We are going to claim that in Jesus' name we are healed from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. Amen. And you need to make the decision to last till the end. Amen. it is critical for you to lay down your stake and say, I will live and not die. God has promised every single one of us 70, 80, and even longer if by reason of strength. You got to be strong up here. The word of God in Proverbs says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is puny. It's small. Oh my God, the kid fell down and he's bleeding. Your strength is puny. That child needs you and you're having a conniption fit. Amen? Look at you parents laughing like, oh God, busted. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you have faith, I have faith, people. I have faith for the rapture. I believe it all, every bit of it. Because if anybody can explain to me how this world came to be, the only planet with actual life, if you can dissect all that and understand how a pebble was formed, how a rock was formed, how mountains are formed. Dude, you have to believe. You have to just believe. If you choose faith, you are choosing God. Say that with me.
If you choose faith, you are choosing God.
And if you choose fear, you are choosing Satan.
If you choose fear, you are choosing Satan.
So every time that you are afraid, you're literally choosing Satan. It's time to stop. Stop the fear. We are not cowards. We are warriors. We are soldiers. We've been enlisted in the army of the Lord. And if his people fall apart at the first thing, what is the expectation of the non-believers that are surrounding us? We ought to be able to give an example, a testimony, an answer for the hope that's in us, people, to those around us. Every time. I'm telling you, this message came from God, not from me. I've been learning from this. Something comes up, I always say, I choose God. I choose faith. Amen. I'm literally schooling myself into this reality right now. Oh. And on this rock, I will build my church. My church. And the gates of hell will not overcome it. Amen. Did you hear that? You should be jumping up and down, throwing your hats in the air. The gates of hell cannot prevail against you if you are part of the church of God. Amen. What makes us the church of God? I've been teaching it. Okay, let's look at this. The rock is the foundation for God's true church. So what is the rock? The rock is revelation knowledge. It is rhema. Remember, we have logos. When you get in the word and you read and you read and you read and you read, that's logos. Keep stuffing it in and stuffing it in, and then very shortly, God will begin to open up the scriptures to you. That's a revelation. That's a revelation. That's how the church of God is built. Not on man's doctrines, not on motivational speaking. It is built by building on the rock, which is revelation knowledge. How do you think Bill and I have overcome? People, we have the biggest target on our back. Our children, they have gone through hell and back because they were born into a family like this. And we're all overcoming. Why? Because we know revelation knowledge. It's not in our head. It's been revealed in our heart. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It is rhema only through God's revelations. It is rhema. Okay. The rock is revelation knowledge. It is rhema. Only through God's revelations can his church be built. We cannot be satisfied, people, with the way we grew up. A lot of us came out of religion. I was so religious, I became a nun for 2 years. That's religious. And when I went in there, I didn't find God. I didn't find, they did never read the Bible. They gave us these weird books, and we were the teachers of the church. Crazy. Saint Aquinas and Saint this and Philippi. And what is this that I'm reading? Why aren't we reading the Bible? Keep growing. The bamboo tree spent 5 years growing its roots underground, showing the world nothing but a tiny sprout. Right now, you may look like a little sprout. Then in 5 weeks, it towers 90 feet tall. Stay the course. You aren't stalling, you're anchoring. The world only sees the height, but God only cares about the roots. Keep digging. Keep sowing, keep reading. Keep planting, keep watering, keep doing what you learn. Do what you learn. We cannot be hearers only, people. That is what's happening in the body of Christ. Oh, I go to church, and people are not changing at all, at all. We should be changing on a weekly basis, a daily basis. Don't dig up in doubt what you planted in faith. Let it in there. Trust the process. Oh, look, I went to get my eyes examined. I've told you this story. And I walk in, and the doctor's in a bad mood. He's barking at his nurse and screaming at people. And I sit down. He looks at my chart for 2 seconds. And he goes, "You're going blind. You're going blind. You're going to lose your sight." And I just sat there. I was because my testimony, they always ask me, what do you do for a living? And every doctor does. And I'm like, I'm a pastor. So for my testimony's sake, I sat there, and the guy did whatever he did, short little examination. I got in my car, and the minute I sat down, I said, "Father, I rebuke those words. I will never lose my sight. You did not make me to go blind. In Jesus' name, I am healed, completely healed in my eyes." I just went and got checked. This was about what? You guys remember, about 7 years ago, maybe a little longer. I just went and got my eyes checked, and my doctor said, "Your eyes look really healthy, Eva." And she said, "And the ocular pressure is really healthy. It's very good." People, you can't go by what you hear. You can't go by what you see. You got to go by the Word of God. And at first it's scary. Of course it's scary. It's like, wait, is this magic or something? You want me to believe a scripture that by his stripes I was healed, and here I am dying of this horrible thing? It's scary at first. But you push yourself and you say, you know what? I have a choice here. I believe the doctors or the world, or I believe God and what he says. Always you have a choice. And never can anything stop once you make a choice. It can't be stopped. Satan would have loved to take you to hell completely. Could he stop you from getting born again? Only Jeff knows that. He's God's cheerleader. Oh, so sorry. People, don't dig up what you've planted in faith. Let it alone. Plant the seed and walk away. And then as you think about it, "Father, I thank you. I'm standing on the word. I am healed," or whatever it is that you need. The word of God is the beginning, the middle, and the end of any believer. It is absolutely everything. If you're not reading your word, then I don't know how you can call yourself a believer. A believer believes, right? Right? Is that good logic?
Yes.
A believer believes. What are you believing if it's not the Word of God? The power of God's word. Warning about taking the word of God lightly. 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come, and this is where we're at, people. This is a scripture that God gave to Pastor regarding his ministry. And we are literally at this scripture right now. Be careful that this is not you. Be careful that you don't harden your heart. Okay? For the time will come when they will not endure, put up with, bear with sound doctrine. And sound means healthy, uncorrupted, and wholesome. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. Are you going to turn your ears away from the truth?
No.
Are you? I'm going to go to that church. They're really nice. And they have cookies and coffee at the end. I heard of a person, this broke my heart. They have gone to three churches. And they have left every church because of politics. And now they're going to a church because they agree with their politics. Why aren't we going to church for the word? For God. That's itching ears, people. You go to church because you want to grow. You want to get close to God. You want to be ready for his return. Not because, oh, I like the way they talk about politics over there. I like that pastor. He always makes me feel good. Pastor Eva, oh my God, she's squeezing us to death spiritually. Every time you go to church, it's like we're in a wine press. Is that our kids? Jeff, can you tell them to?
I'll tell them.
Okay. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables, a tale, fiction. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. You know, we were taught wrong, all of us, in the beginning. If you follow God, you'll never have problems. God will take care of you. In fact, you will never have to even really deal with the devil once you walk with God. That's not true. We learn obedience by the things we suffer. You know how? Because when you're suffering, you're either going to quit or you're going to keep following God in obedience. Amen? Ooh, no amens now. But you be watchful in all things. That's Pastor and myself. But you be watchful in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. And Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. That's how I'm going to end.
Amen.
That is how I'm going to end. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I'm not going to deny God. God is not a fair-weathered friend where, oh, God, I love you, oh, Jesus, when things are going well in your life. Amen? I have kept the faith, which is pistis, and that's the faith that we're studying. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. You know, please understand, I am not teaching these things, and I'm not being strong because I want to get on your case. That's the last thing I want to do. God is expediting our growth right now. He is increasing our ability to learn fast because he's coming. Look at it as absolute love. It takes courage to teach this kind of stuff. Amen? Because of this, they turn away. They turn away. It's too much. I can't do it. To two words to describe God's word. Logos, which is the spoken word of God that feeds our souls. It is spiritual truth and information. When you read your Bible, that's what's happening. You're receiving logos. And then rhema comes to us through the logos that we treasured, studied, and meditated on until the Holy Spirit takes that logos and turns it into rhema, into revelation knowledge. Rhema is what produces faith in our hearts while logos informs us. That was me in 1983. I knew the word. I was his faithful disciple from day one since we got married. I was at everything whenever he taught. We went to conventions all over the place. We went to churches. We did our best to be part of the body of Christ. But the whole time I was receiving logos, logos. Rhema comes to the hungry heart, people, to the one that keeps going, sowing the word until one day. Has that ever happened to any of you where you're reading a scripture and you've read it 100 times, then all of a sudden one day it pops at you? Can I see your hands? Look at this. That's rhema. And guess what? Ironically, that was like 1/3 of this church. What is 1/3?
The remnant.
The remnant. I'm serious. When you guys raised your hand, it was 1/3. That means that the rest of us need to keep staying in the word until it starts cracking open and God begins to show you and teach you. He doesn't cast his pearls before swine, people. You have to really want to learn and grow. We need to start treasuring the things of God. The word of God is holy. Have you seen third world countries when they get Bibles sent to them? They open them up like a hungry man, ravenous, weeping, sobbing, holding it like it's the most important thing in the universe. And here in America, the average household has 8 Bibles. Christians. I remember when we went to Russia, we took boxes and boxes that we had to smuggle in. The first time I went, man, it was scary, guys. The soldiers were huge Russian guys with machine guns at the airport. And they were, as we were coming off the airplane, they were standing in lines watching all of us and looking at what we were bringing in. But God hid those Bibles. And when we cracked them open in the first church, people were sobbing. They were grabbing them. One guy tore like half of the Bible because somebody else was pulling it. And he walked away with the pages loose, crying, holding them. How do you approach your word? Oh, I got to get in the word. I got to read the Bible. Where is our hunger? Pistis faith. This is what we are learning. I don't know why I don't have the scripture here to show you, but let's go into this. The aspect of real faith. It's persuasion. When you have real faith, you're so persuaded that it influences you. I'm persuaded by the word of God. That's why I'm changing. That's why I'm getting ready. And then credence. You believe in the credibility and authority of God's word. One day, people, listen to me and hear me clearly. This is prophetic. Every one of you is going to have to be able to believe the word of God in an instant. It's going to be critical to you and your loved ones. And then confidence in God and his word that is tried and true. I have confidence in God. He will never fail me. Not ever. You know what I say to myself? Whenever stuff comes up, and let me tell you, I'm telling you, these bodies are wacky. You know, there's a curse of the law always trying to get to them, trying to make them sick, trying to kill us, trying to destroy us. And things will happen, you know, doctors will tell me, we are finding stuff. You can laugh. Come on. Say, I love Pastor Eva.
I love Pastor Eva.
I hope you didn't lie. You're in church. But having confidence, you know what I tell myself when I hear something from the doctor? My God's greater than this.
Amen.
My God is greater than this.
Amen.
You know, our children rebel sometimes. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to hear about God. It's too boring. Swords is so weird. And, you know, they talk about the Hebrew and the Greek and all of that. And you just tell yourself, God, you are greater than what they're going through.
Yes.
You're going to bring them through.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
When you face a trial and you think you're going crazy, and we all hit that place sometimes when it's too much and you're about to crack, you say, Lord, whatever I'm going through, you're greater than all of this.
Yes.
And immediately, I promise you, you will relax in faith. Right, Maggie?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then moral conviction, because to you the word is ethical, good, honest, right, honorable, and you believe it completely. You believe the word. I believe the word is the most cleanest, purest thing, the most innocent, the most righteous, the most holy, the most beautiful reality. These are God's spoken words, people. And then these aspects of faith lead to spiritual truth. The truthfulness of God or of a spiritual teacher, especially the reliance upon Christ for salvation. Constancy in such profession, speaking and training in faith. You want to know one way you know you're in faith? It's that you speak it. Yes, Lupe. You cannot be in faith and not speak. Faith demands expression. Speak what you believe. If you're not speaking the scriptures, if you're not speaking, God, you are greater than this, then your faith is weak. It's still up here. When it gets here, it flows. It flows. When I come to church or when I'm at home, in an instant, I enter in because it's in here. It's not up here. Here, you have to work it, and you get distracted, and it gets boring, and it's like, I'm here. I've been here for half an hour, and God's not shown up. When it's in your heart, it's instant. You enter in, and God is right there. Number five, faith in the system of spiritual gospel truth. Pistis leads to assurance, belief, fidelity, which means you become reliable and trustworthy of God's word, which is hard faith. Logos is generally what the crowds, the multitudes, receive because it's what they can tolerate. I'm going to say this, and you're going to walk in love with me, but this is why major churches are an abomination to God. We think, oh, that is so successful. Why do you think Jesus had 12 people? If anybody should have built a massive church, it would have been him. It's because you cannot make disciples in an ocean of, you know, if you're boasting of 40,000 people in your church, how many of them do you know? How many of them are you praying for because you know what's going on in their lives? Two 100 people is what one pastor can handle, which means we can grow to 400. People start inviting. Have a heart. You have friends. Take a chance. Somebody took a chance on you. That's why you're here. I hope you believe in this church, and I hope you invite people. Start getting your friends, your sphere. You know you're responsible for your sphere. That's your people at work. You're responsible for your families, for sure. You're responsible for your mate. You're responsible for your friends. How can you call them friends and not ever once ask them, are you ready to meet the Lord in the air? It's go time, church. It's go time. Amen? We've been fat and sassy. Oh, that was such a good message, Pastor Eva. Or, no, forget me, Pastor Bill. Oh, man, you really fed us today. That was so strong and so mighty. And burp, burp. Oh, that was so good. And we walk out. We are meant to be lean machines spreading the gospel, people. Spreading the gospel everywhere. It was so cute. We were so precious. Really, the most precious little Christians you could have ever met. When we first got born again, we believed everything. We did everything. We went witnessing all over the place. Bill and I, man, we took it by storm. Sometimes people would go with us. And we would pass out tracts in the restrooms. We would put them in the stalls. We would put them in restaurants. We would never pay a tip without putting a tract on there. You can do it. You can do it. But be wary, people. Honestly, see, the world always judges by the exterior. Oh, that's a big church, man. They've got, look at 40,000 people. I'm not making fun of them per se. I'm letting you know the seriousness of this because logos is what people seek. Oh, make me feel good. Make me feel good. Make me feel good. Well, you're here to train. Did you know people? Okay, these big churches, there's a formula. I have studied this so much, you guys. There's a formula that one guy figured out would cause him to have a big church. So all these major churches have done the exact same pattern, and that's why they grew. And they're called seeker-friendly churches. That means that we want the world to come to church. Did you know that the church is for training the disciple? Did you know that? It's for training you. You're supposed to be witnessing. You're supposed to be following people up, discipling them. But the church was meant for people to come in and get strong, for the weak to overcome. It is truth, or at least some truth. And that's true. They will take one little scripture. Oh my gosh. I once went to a major ministry. Sat in the thousands of people. And the whole morning, the message, first of all, it's 20-minute sermonette because the people have to go and get breakfast. We don't want to offend them, so we got to hurry up. Everything's, you know, within an hour, everything has to be done. This is a day unto the Lord, people. This is a day that we crash and burn in God's presence and get refueled. But this guy talked about the whole morning, didn't use a scripture, major, major ministry, and what they taught was, when you fall, you will break your little wing, and the Lord will heal your wing, and you will be stronger than before you broke it, because it grows calcium, and now it's going to be stronger. So don't be afraid when you break things. The whole morning was about that. And yeah, people left all, yeah, praise God, nothing's going to break my wing, you know? It's like, so most religions operate on logos because religions are man-made. All religion is man-made. I said all religion is man-made. That's why they are different from one another. These people over here said, you know what? We believe this way, so we're going to form a church this way. But, yeah, that's why most religions operate on logos, on just the word, because religions are man-made, not Holy Spirit-made. It is some spiritual information that highly depends on the depth of knowledge of the word of any given minister, priest, etc. I remember the one time that the foundress of the convent that I was in, she opened up the Bible and I was like, oh my God, this is going to be awesome. We're going to read the Bible. And she picked the story of when Jesus went to raise Lazarus from the dead. And she said, you know, she read like two lines from the word. And then she said, you know, Jesus, he cried. By the way, Jesus did not cry. He was groaning in the spirit to raise that man from the dead. And she taught the whole morning on the fact that God wept because he loved his friend. And his friend died. And so Jesus didn't know what to do, what's going to happen now to Lazarus. And then she said, and this morning I lost my favorite pen. And I wept for my pen. So I'm like Jesus. I weep when I lose something or someone. That's not at all the word of God. So understand that whatever church you go to, hey, you're free. You're free to do what you think you need to do. If you go to some other church, you better do some research on that minister, because his depth of knowledge from the word of God is what you're going to get. And a lot of ministers are weaving in and out of some truth. So you're like, oh, this guy is awesome. Have you heard him? He just, you know, he was talking about this scripture. But how deep is his knowledge of the word? Because that's what he's going to give to you. Somebody asked me not too long ago, and I think I'm going to be answering a question here for someone. The person's not here. But they asked me, they said, what about Catholics? They asked me because they knew I had been a nun. Are you, you know, all of them believe in Jesus. And I thought about that, and I took it to God. I always take things to God when I'm not sure. Of course, that's what you should do. I took it to God, and he said, John 3:3 makes the distinction, Eva. Unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Are they taught about that? I understand that they're actually starting to teach a little bit along those lines. And I understand that they have a group that's charismatic, that actually speaks in tongues. So it's beginning to filter in. But unless a person gets born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Religion's not going to renew your spirit. You're not going to go from life to death, from death to life, in a religious setting, people. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Is this making any sense? You know what? We have what's that called, that machine that breaks up the cement, Bill?
Jackhammer.
A jackhammer. That's what we're doing right now to our foundation. We're breaking it up, making sure that we get rid of all the alloy, all the things that weaken our foundation. Which is why, for the most part, the majority of the body of Christ stays in a spiritual level where they can only handle parables, stories, proverbs, and milk, and they have remained sheep. Matthew 13:10. Oh, okay, I'll stop here. Sorry about that. Matthew 13:10. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables, in little stories? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you, to the disciple, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, in stories, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. If you're coming to church and you don't understand anything that we're teaching, you need to start taking the messages we teach and take them apart at home. In the early days, I rewrote hundreds of, in those days it was cassette tapes, of ministers, almost every word, and I would decipher. And in those days, I didn't know the Greek or the Hebrew or anything. I would look in the dictionary. I was hungry to know, to understand. If you come here and you're bored and you're thinking about Denny's, I can't wait to have my pancakes tonight, today. If that's all you're doing and you're not understanding, you're literally wasting your time. Start being active in your walk. Take things apart. I have heard some of his, there was one CD that you taught on faith, Bill, that I heard probably 200 times. Over and over and over and over and over again. I would take notes. I would remember. That's how it's done, people. Not, oh, I went to church and, you know, I was kind of thinking about what we're going to do for the rest of the day, but still I went. No. It's time to become a student. Amen? A student. So, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of these people have grown dull. And I'm going to tell you, after the pandemic, our hearts grew dull. We came back and we were rusty. We came back and we were out of sync. We're slowly coming back. Slowly coming back. Don't allow yourself to get dull. Amen? Our walks are exciting, people. There is nothing more exciting than God. You know, yeah, please. Their ears are hard of hearing. I don't want to hear anymore. Oh, my God. Let's go on vacation. Let's go and look, we need a break. No. I am one that loves to hear. I will hear the word. I will do whatever it takes to hear the word. So for their hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Let me look at this. Okay. So, when you come to church, I started praying this over myself, people. When I would find scriptures like this, Lord, give me the ears to hear. Lord, give me the eyes to see. I want to see what you see. Father, I have the mind of Christ. Start doing that. Pray for the ears to hear. If you don't understand half of what we're teaching, you need to ask God to help you understand. Amen? I love you guys.